We have the people who count. I feel like everybody ought to hear, everybody in the message ought to hear what we're hearing this weekend. Everybody would benefit from hearing something of what we've heard today. Families, you know, single folks. Where were you 30 years ago, right? But you know, God knows what he's doing. God's got a sense of timing and how things get done. You just have to take it when you get it and apply it and not just be a hearer of the word and apply it in your life, you know. That's all we can do. But it's good for everybody. Brother Jason. They're going to be posted on the site, mensmeeting.org. We cannot stream, so they're archived there. I think last night's is probably up. Almost. So we'll have Sunday and Monday, should have them all posted and available. Just audio. And we've never, I don't know why, but we've never been able to get a good video of the services in all of our attempts. We've never been able to do it. One of the other things that, you know, people are here from all over the place, and I would love, we've done men's meeting in Arizona one time. We did it in Denmark. We did it in Belgium. I'd be wide open to doing a men's meeting somewhere else, you know, doing it in another part of the country. We attempted to get it done in Michigan this year, but that just never worked because of scheduling. This is a great place. I mean, this is a good place. It is, unfortunately, a drive for a lot of folks, or a flight, but it is a good place because it's, you know, removed, and it's, you know, a retreat-like facility and designed for this kind of a thing. So it's served us well over the last 14 years, and we've appreciated using it. So, but if, you know, if there's a church that is willing to help out with the work that's done, I'd be glad to organize holding it somewhere else, you know. We got Brother Sam here from Ohio, you know, we do one in the north, and or wherever, you know, I'd be glad to consider that. Because there's a lot of brothers who obviously couldn't make it. So, all right. Well, let's stand to our feet, and we're just going to have a quick word of prayer. But Tim, if you would come and offer a word of prayer for us, and we'll let the others straggle in. We just ask God's blessing on the session this afternoon.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this precious time that we just have, O Lord, and Lord, you're just opening up so many things to us, revealing our lives, O Lord Jesus, and where you want to pour yourself into us. And Lord Jesus, as we're continuing on with this session, O Father, may you continue to open our hearts, O Lord. May the word pour out in such a way through our precious brother, O Lord, to help us, O Father, to know who we are, O Father, and take our position, we ask. Thank you for all things, O Lord. We commit this service into your hands. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim. Without any further ado, we're going to turn to our Brother David, good friend, and has done and is doing a great work in Europe and ministering to lots of believers in Europe. So we're honored to have Brother David Iverson with us today, and just looking forward to what the Lord has laid on his heart. Brother David.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Bear. Well, the Lord bless you this afternoon. I hope you're still alive and kicking. And we thank the Lord for being here. Thank you, Brother Barry. And we won't waste time, so let's go directly into the scripture. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And we're sure enjoyed, Brother Andrew. There's a, you know, our master in heaven only has pieces of himself, so that was a masterpiece. Every piece we received. How many agree? Yeah. Hallelujah. So there's some more. So 1 Peter 1, verse 3, and then we'll read till verse 7. So you also have the Bible text on the screen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. How many can testify that this afternoon? Hallelujah. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when we go through the temptations, it's not just for the sake of troubles, but there is a purpose behind it. And the purpose is that we should glorify and honor the Lord at his appearing. Amen. Let's just pray together. And if you have a need tonight or this afternoon, you can also lift up your hands, and we believe the Holy Spirit can speak to you. The Lord is here. Lord, we come into your presence this afternoon. And Lord, we first want to thank you for all the things we've been able to hear already, Lord. And Lord, we really mean it. What we heard are pieces of the Master. And we want to thank you for it, Lord, for Brother Andrew and Brother Tim this morning, and Brother Jason, Lord, pour this heart out and bless the brethren, Lord. And we just pray that you will bless us this afternoon as we speak about you, Lord. May the Holy Spirit just make the word alive. We can do nothing without you, Lord, but with you we can do everything, Lord. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Lord. You see the hands, Lord. We pray that you will minister to every need, that the Holy Spirit may just touch every life, Lord, and change us into your image. Lord, you know whatever we need, Father, and you have more than the answer, Lord. You have the solution. You had the answer before the question was there, Lord. And we just pray as we heard the word, Lord, that we may be an imbalanced headship, Lord, that we may have eyes like an eagle, Lord. Lord, that if there's something that is not like you, may you just burn it down to ashes, Lord. And that you may rise out of the ashes, Lord. That you may receive the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So, I would like to speak on overcoming temptation. Amen. Amen. Overcoming temptation. We've just read it where the Bible says it. Don't be surprised, if I can say it in my own words, that we go through many temptations. So we believe the Word of God. We believe God is perfect. We believe we are in heavenly places. But we're still on earth. We're still going through things. And so I warn you before we go into this, it's incredibly simple. If you don't mind that, but it's just the way, first of all, that I'm built up. But I'm just a simple believer, simple pastor. But I believe the Word of God. And I believe the Lord is looking for you and I. Whatever form the Word comes in, let's just pull on the Word. Amen. So I believe, as you no doubt have maybe seen in the news, that the Ukrainian forces there in the war with Russia had everywhere in the newspaper. They had like a drone called the Dragon drone, and it just transports some hot burning or melted iron, 2,500 degrees Celsius, and they just pour it out on the lineages of the Russians, and it caused a real confusion. And we see the warfare today is completely different than First and Second World War. And listen to what the prophet says here. He says, in putting on the whole armor of God, he says, we find out, speaking about secret agents and about the war, each nation now will equip its men with the latest equipment, the very latest. And they study and they do everything and they're trying to counteract the other fellow's weapons and to get a little more modern weapon, a little something with a little more punch to it. Hallelujah. You can see where this will go after a while. From the bow and the arrow to a musket, and from a musket to a modern rifle, and then to atomic, and it keeps building, and it keeps them busy all the time, and it's nation's business. If they want to survive, they want to equip their soldiers with the best equipment that there is. Hallelujah. And he says here, well, God, you know, He is infinite, so He don't have to think anything better. He just got the best to begin with. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that a good start this afternoon? Amen. God's got the best to begin with. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can't improve on it. Nothing to be done about it. He just give us the best, and that is His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Here we go. Praise the Lord. That's the best that can be given. God gives His people the very best, and that's what He chose for His children, the very, very best. So He really emphasizes it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for that, he says, and we are so glad for that this afternoon. Hallelujah. So I can, he says, furthermore, I see God, our Father, and the kingdom that we are delegates of, He is infinite. So we heard it, like a good father, He wants the best for us. That is balanced headship, and we are so blessed to be under balanced headship. Amen. This is not so balanced headship. But you know what? Everybody has to perform his or her part. You know, I don't want to fulfill this part. But did you notice the headline in the newspaper a few years ago, and where the whole world looked to Russia and with this new ballistic rocket called missile called Satan number 2. So there is an inspiration behind it to destroy. It's the spirit of death that is upon this age. Remember, the horse rider is death on different horses. So we see Satan is an imitator, so we'll come back to that. We are in the age of a flying eagle, and he tries to present something flying, very powerful. And look at the title. Putin has founded an invincible weapon. Listen, we had an invincible weapon before we were even born. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he says here in church order, and I know it's in the context of church order, but I would like to bring it to you. He says, God is looking to me to see that I stay in the Word. That's for the ministers. Amen. And he says, now I'm looking to you to see that you carry out the Word. So it's not a theory, it's something to be applied in your daily life. Hallelujah. The message is not something to listen to and say amen, but we should apply it. Hallelujah. And he says, and keep it spiritual. It's a solemn warning for the, he says, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. So it's not going to be an easy road. That's what he's saying. And he says, be careful, keep it spiritual. And you must be soldiers, not just fresh recruits. So God is talking to us men to be real men, to be fighters. But he's also saying we are not just fresh recruits. We just didn't come in. God has given you some experience. He's given you power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the intelligence. He's given you the unction, the anointing of the eagle. And you'll see, Brother Tim, when you was preaching, I was, you know, saying amen, but I was scared at the same time, like maybe I have to delete half of the of my notes. But thank the Lord, he knows exactly. He made those little turns, and you will find out just how many things that will just touch each other. Amen. It's just the hand of God. I'm so happy about that. Yeah. Hallelujah. So there's a solemn warning as the church now starts to grow. And I can say as men, as we start to mature, yeah, as we grow up, you grow up, that he says, keep it spiritual. Right. So that, what is he actually saying? There's a great risk that for us to become carnal, especially as men, you know? So he says, keep it spiritual. We can become carnal as a pastor, as deacons in the church, people with each other. So may the Lord help us. We are not fresh recruits. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you this afternoon, you've been trained for this. Whatever the conditions are, God is training you. And he's got confidence in you. But he's saying, keep it spiritual. Hallelujah. I believe we can take orders from the Lord and we pack them out, as we heard. He just gives the orders. We pack them out. Hallelujah. We've been trained for this. I was pondering on this 3 years ago. I went into full-time ministry. And this was something as I've always looked up to, like maybe it will never be possible. And now the moment when I arrived, the Lord revealed something to me. And he said, even when you were still working on the job and preaching, you were already in full-time ministry. I'm telling you today, brothers, even if you're not in the pulpit, you are in full-time ministry. 24/7, you're serving the King. Oh, yes. Everybody, all the sons and daughters are in full-time ministry. Not just the preachers, every one of you. The youngest in this room, you're in full-time ministry. You're in the business of your Father. You get orders, you pack them out. Hallelujah. So now he says here in the Mighty Conqueror, and he says, if there's anything that makes a Christian lazy, it's when they're on a flower bed of ease. Preach it, Brother David. Oh, yeah, I will. We don't have... Listen what he says. It's very strong. He says, we don't have persecution enough. Let's just be honest. This hurts a little bit. We don't have it hard enough, he says. Always at the chain is the strongest as its weakest link. And he says, listen closely. And a man under pressure is what he is when he is under pressure. His real true characteristics will show when he's under pressure. Get him all riled, stirred up, then you'll see the real man come out. If he's got a temper, it'll show itself. If he's meek and gentle, it will show itself. Put him under pressure once. And God puts all of his children, how many? All of his children, under tests to see whether there's any flaws in them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're speaking about overcoming temptation. I don't know, I think we all know this, the definition of to overcome, it means to stand the test. That's how simple it is. When you get a test and you stand the test, you overcome. The promise is to the overcomer. In every age, to him that overcometh will I give. listen here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. And this is the first Exodus, and we are in the third Exodus. Amen. And now thou shalt remember, verse 2, all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And now he explains the purpose of the journey in the wilderness: to humble thee, to prove thee, that is to test, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Amen. So God brings them in an Exodus. He brings them 40 years in the hot, blazing sands of the desert. No food, no water. And the purpose is not because God is sadistic. God is enjoying the pain. But he says, I'm doing this to humble you. I'm doing this to test you, to prove, to see what is in the inside of your heart, and whether you would keep God's commandments. See, when we're put under the test, when we are the one, when God looks to us for responsibility, look in the Garden of Eden, when they had sinned, Adam and Eve, and God said, what did you do? The blame game. That woman that thou hast given me, that's not a real man. You know, a real man can take his responsibility. God asks Adam three questions and he answers none. He could have answered every question with one word. I preached last Sunday in the church about that. Won't go there. And then he comes to Eve and she says, the serpent beguiled me. He tempted me. Well, we can so he said, you know, the prophet says it, you know, we so many times we blame the devil made me do this. And the prophet says, it wasn't the devil, it was you. Oh my, help us, Lord. But here is a real man. When Nathan the prophet came to David and he said, thou art that man. Then he repented and something under pressure came up. Something came up like, and listen, this was the man who was at the pinnacle of his ministry. He was at the top of his leadership. So I'm saying the temptation is not only when we are at our weakest, but many times when we are at our strongest. That's where we are most vulnerable to be tempted. When everything goes right, when everybody loves you, you know, and there's money in the bank and everything goes right and you feel a little better than all the rest, there's a temptation coming on your way. And it's not like a punishment, but God is doing it like Job to test, to prove your heart. And he does it on purpose to show the enemy that you are a righteous man, that you're a man of integrity. We would have never had Psalm 51, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. If we would have, like today, if we have made a mistake, this is to us, speaking to us personally, that there is a way back to the Lord. Amen. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. We've heard about Brother Tim who spoke about that. You can be full of the Holy Spirit and still the Holy Spirit take his flight. Paul says it with these words, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. And he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He hadn't lost his salvation, but he had fallen into temptation, right? But he knew there was a way of restoration, of coming back. And the first step, he said, he lifted up his hand. He didn't try to blame others, but he said he repented himself. Now we want to look to that process, how temptation comes. And in the Bible, it says here, and first, before we go into it, 1 John 2, verse 12, Paul says, John says here, I write unto little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. He starts with a message of restoration and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Aren't we thankful we have a priest, a high priest? Hallelujah. That can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. In 1 John 2, verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers. So this is the man that have grown up, because you have known him that is from the beginning. How many fathers are here this afternoon? I have written unto you, young men. How many young men?
Amen.
Hallelujah. A little less amens, but... because ye are strong. Amen. Young men, just say amen.
Amen.
That's what the word says about you are strong. Yeah, but Brother David, if you knew, the devil comes my way, and if you knew, I've been tempted so many times. You are strong. This is thus saith the Lord. This is the word of God. And he says, the word of God abideth in you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And ye have, this is past tense, overcome the wicked one.
Amen.
It is finished. But we still have to fight. But inside of you, the victory is present.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Brother Tim spoke about the full armor of God. Ephesians 6. To fight the wiles of the devil and the dark spirits in high places. And the Bible, we know, Hebrews 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let me tell you, this is the greatest weapon that ever struck the earth. This is the greatest weapon that is given into the hands of the believers of you and I. And you know, you might say, well, Brother David, denominations read from the same Bible. The churches read from the same Bible. But I want you to notice something here in Hebrew. It says not just the prints on pages, but it says the weapon of the Spirit. In Ephesians 6, it says the weapon of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes the Word alive, that is a million times stronger than any atomic bomb. Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes, Brother Tim, these were in my notes before I came here. So we had a very good background. I can go a bit quicker. But this is Satan. This is death riding in several disguisements. And we know the four horses of Revelation. And now in this age, the pale horse is a mixture of all the demonic forces we've ever had. It is religious deception. It is a murderous spirit. It's all the darkness of hell, all the depression, suicide. And Satan has only one agenda, that is death. If he tempts you, he comes as the tempter. He comes and he has one agenda, is to kill your faith.
Yeah.
Is to kill, and maybe he doesn't go there directly, but he starts to kill the fight in you. That's the first step. I'm just giving up. It's been enough. I don't want to fight no more. And when he kills the fight in you, you're done. Then the next step is he wants to kill your faith.
Amen.
And you start to think, well, God doesn't do that anymore. But let me tell you, God never sent us to battle unequipped. He sent us with the mightiest weapon he could ever give us, the power of the Holy Spirit. In every age, he had a power to counteract, to combat the power of the devil. And we have the most powerful weapon in our age, the Holy Spirit in the symbol of a flying eagle. Hallelujah. The power that can even lift us up from an earthly battle. Your sickness, your financial problems, and you start to pray in the Holy Spirit, and you take that serpent,
Hallelujah. You say, Satan, you have no right. You cannot take my children. You cannot take my health. This body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you start to take that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Flying eagle. This is also in my notes, Brother Tim, before I came. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
Power to fly. Power to overcome.
Yes.
The eagle does not fight a snake on the ground. It picks it up into the sky. And it changes the battleground. And then it releases the snake into the sky.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The snake has no stamina. No power and no balance in the air. It is useless, weak, and vulnerable. Unlike on the ground where it's powerful, wise, and deadly. You see why it's so important to be lifted up in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Take your fight into the spiritual realm by praying. And when you are in the spiritual realm, God takes over your battles. Don't fight the enemy in his comfort zone.
Right.
Change the battlegrounds like the eagle and God. And let God take charge through your earnest prayer. And you'll be assured of a clean victory.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the anointing that is on each one of you.
Right.
This the youngest kid in my church, in your church, can apply this and have the victory over every temptation. But you see in the Bible there's a pattern, and I don't want to go in all the details of it, but it's called, the prophet calls it, the cycle of revival and death. Have we heard about that? He speaks about it in the seven church ages. And the cycle of, we heard it briefly, the judges, you know, in the absence of the prophet, there were judges. And you see the cycle. God, the people turn away from God. God sends a judge. They come back to God. And the judge dies. And they turn away from God. And God sends another one. And let me tell you, brother, sister, it was the same. Oh, brother, sorry. This is still the pastoral switch. Click. Some people were awake. Anyways, but you see, whether you place it, the prophets there or the kings, the book of the kings, same thing. Cycle of the kings. God brings a king and hallelujah, King David, King Solomon. But we see that as a cycle as they disappear. And if we're not careful, brother, sister, this is a temptation that we handle the servants of the Lord the same way today. God sends a powerful man, victory, revival. He dies, and the revival dies. Let me tell you today, there's a different anointing of the Holy Spirit of a flying eagle, and each one of you can do miracles. You can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You can prophesy in the name of the Lord. Yes, you can. So God, help us to break that cycle of revival and death. Help us to live a stable life. Hallelujah. You don't need a man to give you the victory. Jesus Christ has already won the victory for you. He is the answer. Hallelujah. He says it here in the church ages. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. So we are here this afternoon, and he's still saying, I will give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It's not going to be easy. You'll need a lot of power, but I'll give you the best. Where we started, the first quote, the very best I can give you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The weapon of the Spirit, anointing of the eagle. He says here, in what went ye out to see, God equips a man. He equips him with his own material. That's a real dad. You can have my coat. You want to use my knife? Come on, son, you can do this. Take daddy's tools. Hallelujah. Take the gifts of your father. He equips you with his own material. See, he says if John preached the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he never preached something that they didn't have. He preached what he had received. Hallelujah. And man of God that is sent into the fields today has no right to preach the gospel without the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the first qualification of a minister, is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. What is he saying? This is the first qualification. There's a lot of other qualifications. So God equips his church. And he says again, the book of Revelation, he says the book of Acts is a continuation. Or Christ and the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But he says the book of Revelation, we heard it, book of symbols, it shows how the Antichrist spirit would come in the church and defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his work. Let me tell you, we're so quick to say, well, I see the Antichrist spirit in that other church. I see it in another person. This afternoon, let's take the word for ourselves. I always tell the people, if you want to start to discern, start with your own life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Say, Lord, search my heart. Search my reins. See if there's any wicked way and bring me back to the right way. But Satan hates to be exposed. Don't wait until a minister comes with a certain gift. The Holy Spirit can expose Satan in your life. Don't wait for me to make a whole list this afternoon of all the possible sins and temptations. Just ask the Lord now. If there's anything in my life, would you just discern it? If there's any wicked way, search me. Look with your eagle eye. Remember those anointings, even the flying eagle, they could see what was, what is, and what will be. So you cannot hide anything from God. I'm not trying to scare you, brother. I'm encouraging you. You can hide it from the preacher. You can hide it from your wife or the children or anyone, but you cannot hide it from God.
Amen.
I don't want to hide my sins.
Amen.
Satan hates to be exposed. And the prophet said, with that gift of discernment, you should see the expression on the faces change when Satan is about to be exposed. But let me tell you can ask God, if there's anything in my life, expose it, Lord.
Amen.
That's a real man. You who said amen and yes, that's a real man. Even you who didn't say it right out loud, just in your heart, amen. You can handle this. Because it's not you, it's Christ in you. So he says, we've heard that also, but so if the people get a true revelation of of the true church and what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, so that's what I'm telling you, you can do it.
Amen.
Amen. She will be an invincible army. Hallelujah. No need of ballistic rockets, no need of drones. You have a flying eagle power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if we want to discern those two spirits within the framework of the church, if you can discern it, he says Satan will be powerless before you. So if you can recognize Satan, if he's tempting you, and you can discern him, he is powerless before you. And here it is. That's what he wants to do. We know we have the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles, and it's actually not the acts of the apostle, but it's the acts of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. It's not your acts. It's not the acts of your favorite preacher. But it's the acts of the Holy Spirit in your favorite preacher.
Amen.
So God give us the strength to resist and withstand that Antichrist spirit. He also has acts. He also, remember, he imitates what God does. But his purpose is not To restore, his purpose is not to heal, but it is to defile, to make you lukewarm, to make you formal, to make you powerless. So that's the agenda of Satan. I'm saying this afternoon, Satan, you are exposed. Because we've been made more than overcomers through him who loved us. It's already done. Hallelujah. So the Lord is telling Satan this afternoon, have you seen my servants like Job? He's proud of you. He's looking to overcomers this afternoon. Before coming here, I was listening to that message, leadership. The last message Brother Branham preached. And so the whole point, the whole thing he is bringing there is that we will, through this life as a man, we have an increasing level of responsibility. So God says, to whom much is given, much is required. He's requiring much more from you than people in the denominations. Right? As you grow up as a older man, he's requiring much more than the young man. And the ministers, he's requiring even more. Because God wants to bring us to a place of leadership, a place of adoption where he can really place us and where we know our place in balanced headship, Brother Andrew. Hallelujah. So it's not sufficient just to keep the commandments and here is the rich young ruler and Jesus said, you know the commandment. You know what the prophet says, in other words, today. And he says, well, all these things I have done from my youth, but he says, one thing you lack. I say, Lord, if there's one thing lacking in my life, help me, Lord Jesus. I don't want to turn my back on him and say, well, it's 99%. I'm a pretty good message believer. But I want to serve him 100%. I don't want to lack anything. David said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. So it's more than going to church, obeying the rules. God wants you to be an overcomer. God wants us to completely die to ourselves, to become ashes and rise up as overcomers through Christ who loves us. So speaking on temptation, overcoming temptation, this is really quite a thing from Oscar Wilde. The only way to get rid of temptation, he says, is to yield to it. He said, I can resist everything but temptation. I think that's the worst advice we could have. Right? How many agree? I wish I had the buzzer sound. Anyways, let's continue. Aren't we thankful for advice from the Word of God? We don't care about people's opinions. We want to hear what God has to say. So you all heard the story of the two guys that had to bring a king to a place, and one of them was boasting how close he could drive with his cart or with his chariot to the edge of the mountain. And he would like, I can drive up to 2 inches. And so they would boast against each other. And there was one chariot rider that didn't say anything. And the king said, what is your opinion? He said, I'm not going to drive close to the border. I'll just bring you there safely. And he said, I want you as my driver. Don't you want a pastor like that? Don't you want to be a man like that? Because the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't see how close you can get. Some people are like, oh, it doesn't bother me if I see a naked woman. It doesn't bother me and all those things. You know, it might go well maybe 10 times, but the 11th time, that snake will bite you. Well, it doesn't bother me if I go on websites, you know, and it's a little bit, you know, off the edge. That's how Satan calls it. James identifies temptation like this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Not just one, one after the other. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So that is the goal. God gives you those, we should be happy that we are going through things because it's God's confidence in you. He's training you to be a soldier, not a fresh recruit. He's training to be you to be a real father, a leader of the home, a spiritual priest, king and prophet. Hallelujah. And he says, now the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let it have her perfect work. So there's many things we just leave in the hands of God. We cannot explain them, but just trust the Lord. He will have his perfect work in your life. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lord, give me wisdom. I think that's a prayer we should pray every day. Give me wisdom in this situation. Give me wisdom which woman I should marry. Give me wisdom if I should do this business deal. Give me wisdom with my money, how to deal with it. Not to have those schemes of getting rich overnight. Like we have to preach to the young people today, like it used to be against the movie stars, now it's against the YouTube stars. Let me tell you, it's all falling stars, but it's against the biblical principles of just working and bringing, providing financial stability for the home. Hallelujah, saving money and be a good steward of what God has entrusted to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. So just ask God for wisdom, and he will give it liberally. Amen. Not like, oh, I don't know, I've just given wisdom to Brother Tim Dodd, and there's no more left for you. I'm sorry, maybe next week. But he's giving liberally. And abradeth not, and it shall be given to you. Ask abundantly that your joy may be full. Amen. Hallelujah. So now James explains, and this is very interesting, and I know it's hyper-basical. It's extremely simple. But I think it's very important for us to understand the process of temptation. And not only the process that is behind us, but the way back that is very important. But I think the third one is the most important, how to avoid it. Yes. Hallelujah. So he says here, James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. So that's where Brother Branham gets it from. It's not the devil, it's you yourself. And entice, it's your own lust. This body is not yet redeemed. Right? So there's still lusts in it, and Paul teaches us to bring your body into submission, that you do not yield your members to sin. Hallelujah. And he says it in many ways. He says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Hallelujah. Then he says, so he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So lust has the power to conceive. And it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So that's what we saw in the horse riders. We see the final agenda or the result Satan wants to bring. Christ has come to give us life and more abundantly. But Satan comes to bring death. He has one agenda, is to kill the human race. So if you look to that word lust in the Greek, is epithumia, and it means the desire to lust after, to crave for, to desire what is forbidden. You know, that is in the carnal nature. That is in our bodies as we sit here, because our flesh hasn't been redeemed. So he says, so James makes a comparison that lust can actually conceive, like a natural conception. Isn't that amazing? Like this is the prophet says there is a spiritual conception also. It's not just the natural, but there's a spiritual conception. And I was thinking on that, how Paul says those words that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. So the word of God is a seed, and it is able to conceive. So Satan is an imitator. He comes with lust. And he is imitating what God does to you with his word. And he said, and now it deceives, or it conceives, sorry, and it brings forth sin, and sin grows, and in the end it brings forth death. And I was pondering on the scripture that the seed of lust is a corruptible seed. Christ gives you the Holy Spirit as an incorruptible seed, but Satan coming with his temptations, it is a corruptible seed. It will corrupt everything around it and finally bring forth corruption, death. So strangely enough, this is like a natural conception after it. There is the sperm and the egg meet each other, birth started. There is a conception. In other words, there's a moment of reaction where new life starts to grow. But strangely enough, James speaks this in the context here of temptation. And again, in a positive way, when the angel came to Mary and he explained the power of the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and that which will be born in you shall call the name of, you shall give it the name of Jesus. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. But you see, Satan now is an imitator, and he says, it goes on here, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's what we just read. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Let me put it like this. That's the way Satan does it. It starts as a little wild lie. You cannot even see, maybe sitting in the back, how it starts very invisible. It's very innocent. Oh, maybe it doesn't hurt me if I watch this movie. It's a little bit erotic, but it's no problem. But you know, at some point it will conceive and it will start to grow, sin, and it will never stay the same. Satan is lying to you. Oh, it will stay. No, it will grow and grow. Finally, take over. And he says, and finally, you will give birth when sin has been completed. And the result of that birth is not something joyful. It's death. You sit in church like a pillar. The Holy Spirit moves and nothing can move you anymore. You're sitting there loaded with guilt and shame. And the devil even filling you with other dark spirits, depression and nervousness and finally suicidal thoughts, because you know you shouldn't be doing those things. And you're sitting as a message believer, maybe you grow up in the pastor's home, and sitting as dead as Julius Caesar. But let me tell you, Christ can make you rise from the ashes. If there's just a little sparkle there. So many times I've spoken to people like sitting there explaining for 2 hours all the things. There's no hope for me. I said, why are we sitting here then? So many times, if there's a little spark, God can fire, God can fan that flame again. All you need is a little bit of the wind of the Holy Spirit. And say, Lord, rekindle the flame. And brother, it's not necessarily always physical or sexual temptation. There's many, many temptations. So some of the temptations are very very subtle, and it looks more innocent even, like wasting our time, like being on social media. And let me tell you, Satan has one agenda, is to kill your faith. He destroys your time with the Lord. And we have to stand for what is right. And Amen. Lord, give us ministers that preach against those things. People can sit for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. And if you ask them to pray 1 hour, it's like, I am too busy. It's a lie.
Amen.
Satan has brought you temptation, and it has conceived. And now you get addicted to this thing. And the final result, this is Satan's agenda. How people can sit and watch a movie for 2 or 3 hours. And then if a preacher preaches 1 hour and a half, people go out to the bathroom and watching their clocks and all said, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Yes, Brother Tim, I'm getting into preacher mode sometimes. Back to the slide. But you know, the definition of sin is to miss the mark.
Amen.
We don't want to miss the mark. God has sent us to hit the bullseye, and it is to become an overcomer. Hallelujah. Now let's look. I love this, what the prophet says. I don't have the quote here with me, but he says, Christ is the example man. Christ is the example man. If you want to know how to overcome, look to Christ.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's your biggest example. And he became flesh and he made one solid message. It is possible. Hallelujah. It is possible to be in this flesh and to overcome every temptation. God wouldn't be righteous if he would send you in this battle. Not knowing and maybe saying, well, we'll see what will happen. No, he knows. He has got confidence. He sends you with the right weapons, the latest weapons.
Yes, sir.
The anointing of an eagle. We all know that the Bible here, and I want to go through it a little bit faster. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. And this little word, then, is quite interesting. When is then? Well, let me tell you, just after he got baptized in the water, and after, listen closely, after the Holy Ghost came down in the form of a dove. Well, brother, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah, what then? Then this? You will be tempted of the devil. It's not over. It just started. I always tell the people back home, you know, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God parachutes you in the air. You have your parachute. You're shouting, "Your hallelujah, glory to God." But before long, you know, the parachute comes down. You hear the cannons. You hear the guns. And as soon as your feet hit the ground, you start fighting. So you be ready. So I don't believe like, oh, you received the Holy Spirit and it's all finished. No, it just started. God gave you the power. Until that time, you didn't even know what it is to fight. I thank God for real men here today filled with the Holy Spirit that can fight, that know how what it is to be in a battle and to come out and say with hands lifted up, I know my Redeemer lives. But we see Jesus was tempted here. And now he comes and he says, if you are the Son of God, and it's the same question he's asking you 24/7, if you are a real preacher, if you are a real pastor, if you are a real young man, are you really a son of God? I saw you make mistakes. So that's what he's attacking you with the whole time. And Jesus showed us every time, change these stones into bread. And the Bible says the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
This is more important than your next meal.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then again, he put him in the holy city and made him to sit on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said, cast yourself down, Satan. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge. Now he starts to quote the word.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are so easily deceived. There is a temptation in it when you just hear the Bible. But let me tell you, the prophet says it, that the enemy will misplace. He says the three ways, you know, misquote, misplace, and so on. Take it out of context. That's the dangers. So we need to be grounded and rooted in the scriptures. So we see Satan can even creep into the message and coming with quotes and Bible texts, and it's still wrong. Because you see, and he says, and he quotes there the psalm, so to say, and cast yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge. And Jesus said again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And if you read Psalm 91, verse 11, Satan doesn't only quote the word, but he quotes the word. He adds something to it. It never said, if you jump off a mountain or of a building, I will take. But he says, I will keep you in all thy ways, in thy way, wherever you go. You don't have to perform anything. You don't have to jump down. You don't have to bring something spectacular. It's just when you're walking with the Lord. He's going to avoid that you dash your feet against the stone. But now he comes, just jump down. And he says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord. And now he brings Jesus on a high mountain and he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof. And he says, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. How many modern sports stars, how many modern Taylor Swifts and Queen Bees and all those have sold their soul to Satan. Fallen down before him. And they have received all popularity and all the fame and all the things. See, he says, he, improving his words, Satan tried every scheme to make him discredit this. Satan tried everything that he could to discredit it. Tried to get him to take the kingdom without suffering. Tried to get him to take it without redemption. So what is he doing to you and I? He does the same. He wants to give you an easier way without suffering. But it's a big lie because it's even more suffering. You will serve somebody. It's either the Lord or Satan. But I tell you, he will present it in a very nice way. But finally, it will come into sin and it will bring forth death. It will kill your marriage. It will kill your joy. And Satan said, Satan said these words, and the Lord answered him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil left him. That's what the Bible says. If you resist him, he will flee from you. This is not a nice story about Jesus, but here is the example, man. He shows us how to do it. And angels came to worship him, minister to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he brought those three temptations, and I think they are there for us. It's not that the whole, Paul speaks about it many times, about several temptations and sin, but we can actually condense all of temptations in those three core temptations. He will either try to tell you, do a miracle, show a sign, do something to satisfy the flesh, or maybe cast thyself, do something visually spectacular, jump off the mountain, and it's even in the Bible. Accept an easy solution. Accept the solution without pain. Nobody has to know it. You don't have to confess it. So the prophet makes the connection here with 1 John. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then again, he connects it to Genesis 3. And he calls it the three major trials. That's how he calls it in Genesis. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, the lust of the flesh, pleasant to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Isn't that amazing? Here comes a prophet and connects those three together. And the way out is, it is written. Amen. Hallelujah. So Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators. So the Greek word is pornos. Pornography comes from there. Nor idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But here is the good news. He's preaching to the church. And he said, such were some of you. This is one of my favorites. When I speak to a young man or someone who has been delivered from pornography, sexual sin. You know, it starts with that sin, and it brings an adrenaline rush, and it finally comes into an addiction. And now there comes depression. Now there comes guilt. And finally, if you allow me, but I had one boy once, and the Lord showed it, and I called him in the office, and I told him. And we prayed, and we cast out that spirit. And he stood up with tears in his eyes, and he said, thank you, Brother David, for taking the courage. I said, well, it's not the nicest thing to do. We hate to do this, but it's because I love you. And he was weeping. He said, if you wouldn't have prayed with me, I would have committed suicide. This is a boy who has been going to church all of his life in the message. And I can tell you by experience, if you deal with young people, this is one of the major things with the boys. But let me tell you, there is hope. Paul was speaking to people who came out of it. He said, such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. So he says those words. He says in the seven church ages, it's not so important what we overcome, but how we overcome. That is the anointing, Brother Tim, to know exactly what and how. Supreme power and control to know exactly what and how. The first thing is to know what. What is your problem? That is one thing, but it doesn't give you the solution. It exposes Satan. But now, how do I overcome? It is very simple. It is written. Said when Jesus said that, it was like a 10,000-volt cable. I like this expression in English. It singed his feathers. I had to look that up in the dictionary. And I had a revival with the dictionary. Let me tell you, concluding here, brothers. I had many more slides, but let me finish here. God has sent you to singe his feathers. Amen. God has sent you. And you're saying, well, shoot, I don't, brother, I cannot remember a Bible text. Let me tell you, the word of God abided in you. And John said it to the believers, the younger believers, the fathers. It's already inside of you. Yeah, you already have overcome the world. And it's not you. It's not like you trying, oh, I wish I could overcome pornography, lust, and all those things. Brother, Jesus already conquered it at the cross. And all you need is Jesus on the inside. And you are connected to that 10,000-volt cable. When Satan hits you, he blows off. His feathers are burning. Come on, brother. This is not just a little story. I give you power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hallelujah. Don't see how close you can come. But if Satan tempts you, use the word on him. It is written. The Lord bless you. Amen. Let's just bow our head. We can stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious brothers, Lord, for this atmosphere this afternoon. Father, for such a pull on the Word of God in spite of this being an afternoon session, Lord. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here in this room, Lord, struggling and maybe where lust has conceived, Lord. Father, we have no time. This is not maybe the time of having, you know, physical things, but you can do it at this very moment, Lord. Father, if there's anyone like here in that condition, it doesn't have to be sexual sin, but maybe we've wasted our time, Lord. And Father, we just want to ask you for forgiveness, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, as the church of the living God, we bind every spirit of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that the sons may rise and stand, Lord, as sons and as overcomers, Lord. And Father, may they be real men and expose that antichrist spirit. And I pray humbly, Lord, as I pray with my brothers. Father, if there's any area in my heart, in my mind, Lord, that I haven't fully surrendered to you, show it to me, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us. Sanctify us, Lord. Let us think the good thoughts, Lord. Things that are righteous, Lord, that are good report, Lord. Let us think on these things, Lord Jesus. I pray you will break the power of the enemy in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, we don't have to wait and linger, Father. Oh, Jesus, you said it so many times through the lips of the prophet. As soon as you confess it, the very second, it drops into the bleach of the blood of the Lamb to never be remembered. But Lord, help us to be like that woman who was forgiven. Go and sin no more. And Lord, make us wiser that we don't fall into the same traps again and again, Lord. Build us up, mature us, Lord God. We pray, Lord, bless each one, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we give every heart and every soul into your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother David. My goodness, it's wonderful to see how the Holy Spirit has just interlaced everything together and
Hallelujah.
And just had such strong continuity between every service. But now let's dig down just a layer and look down a little deeper as to how Satan actually tempts sons of God. And that's what we want to do in the next session. We're going to have it at 5 o'clock, okay? So you got about 15 minutes, 13 to 15 minutes from now. There's still some snack stuff left in case anybody's hungry. We'll have supper at 5:30. So we're going to take 30 minutes. It's going to be a shortened session, 30 minutes with Lucas. And if you have questions afterwards, we'll do that. But we'll limit him to 30 minutes, and he'll just give you a little deeper look at how Satan actually causes those temptations in your life. Now, you wonder who should attend this afternoon in that half-hour session. I'll tell you who should attend. Number one, if you have children, you need to attend. If you have grandchildren, you need to attend. Number three, if you own a device that's connected to the internet, you need to attend. And number four, if you're male, you need to attend. So if you're not, don't fall into one of those categories. We'll see you at supper. Okay, 5:30 will be supper, but we'll give you about 12 minutes here, 13 minutes, and then we'll come right back and start right at 5 o'clock. Father, thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the word this afternoon. It's been so rich. Lord, give us just a moment of refreshing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.